Hello, my name's John Bentley, a presenter on Channel 5's The Gadget Show, and I'm making this one-off podcast to test some of the latest kit that aims to make podcasting easier. My chosen subject is the Alfa Romeo SZ, a classic performance car from 1989 that's long intrigued me, but which I've never actually driven. Today, though, I am going to get behind the wheel of this beautiful yet brutalist, innovative yet controversial supercar. Will it live up to its extraordinary visual presence? I really hope so. It's a lovely sounding engine, all normally aspirated. Lots of feel through the steering. Flat and a firm ride, but that's exactly what you want. And I can really accelerate through the gears. This is fun. So much fun. What a noise. What a lovely car. You know, all so often old cars are a disappointment, but I can tell you immediately this one's not going to be. It's got real character. You can feel all the mechanics working. Well, it's not necessarily brilliantly fast, but that really doesn't matter. It's got incredible grip. When you go faster, you can feel the downforce of this rather brick-shaped bodywork really press you onto the tarmac. Ooh, what a lovely thing to own. And in splendid Alfa fashion, the glove box has just come open. Excuse me. Ah, jolly good. I remember experiencing this engine in the 164. That's a nose-heavy front-wheel drive car, but this one feels beautifully balanced in comparison. This is a rear-wheel drive. It's got the gearbox at the back in a transaxle. Glorious! Very even weight distribution, and it really feels beautifully balanced on these bends. It's fantastic. It doesn't feel like an old car at all. It feels like a car you just want to drive and drive and drive. The car I'm driving belongs to one of the world's leading SZ experts, Adrian Jardine of Specialist Alfa Aid, based in Maidenhead. He owns 10 of them, and I wanted to find out just how significant the car's distinctive construction techniques were in creating its extraordinary appearance.
In terms of the actual bodywork, it's got to be on a steel structure, but with all these GRP-type panels.
Yes.
On top.
So, aluminium roof, the main body shell is steel. Effectively, they took a 75 saloon and they chopped the top off. And then they did these special, yes, carplast moulded, injection moulded type fibreglass panels. And added it, which gave them some interesting shapes that they can make easily before as well.
Mm. Well, they're celebrating that, the unusualness of the shapes that you wouldn't normally see.
Correct, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And they used carbon fibre as well, which was going, that was quite a new product at the time. So the carbon fibre rear spoiler, this bit here in the dash is carbon fibre. So with the idea, they suspected or they predicted that the actual weight of the panels was going to weigh 53 kilos. But I hate to think in reality what it really turned out as, because I would say it was more 153 kilos.
A very sort of period interior with these quite elaborately sculptured seats. Very good.
Yeah, that was even a pretty... I think that was heralding a little bit from the racing point of view, obviously, because you could get up to... I mean, they recorded up to nearly 1.4G cornering in this. So you're going to get thrown a bit sideways, so the bolstered seats come out of like racing-type bucket seat design bit, but obviously it's luxury that they... And Zagato themselves, there's their own trimming shop, put the leather interior in it and did the design for the leather and the door work and the fabrics of leather and lovely. So very, very individual, very handmade, at a time when things were getting more and more mass production and hand-built. Fading away, really.
But in some ways now the world is becoming potentially more bespoke. So we may get a return to this sort of thing.
Totally. It's with 3D printing and stuff like that, you can, they can pretty well just edit a program and produce whatever you want, can't they? So yes, unique, individually designed cars possibly could come back, couldn't they? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pointing towards the future in so many ways. Next on the agenda, I wanted to discover what Alfa owners thought of the love-it-or-hate-it styling of Il Mostro, or the Monster, as the SZ is known. Time for a roundtable discussion with members of the Alfa Owners Club, Jonathan Griffin and, first, Guy Swarbrick.
In terms of the aesthetics, there's been a lot of criticism of this car over the years. Is that fair?
I don't think so. I think it's a lovely car. It is very distinctive, but I think... Yeah, you know, there's lots of lovely details. I like the headlights and the way the Alfa grille, the traditional Scudetto grille on the front, is just kind of invoked by a single line of the bottom of the bonnet rather than being a separate grille. I just think it's very nicely thought out, very nicely detailed.
Jonathan, pricing. The values of all sort of classic cars have been rocketing. What would you have to pay for these?
Yes, it was a short run car that was quite expensive new, but for years. The price languished in the 20,000 region, but in recent times, even for a car of poor quality that hasn't been looked after as one should, you're still talking about £30,000. For something that is very low mileage and has been cherished, or a car with an interesting history, as much as £100,000. And so there are cars all the way between those two marks, and there have been a number of low mileage cars that have come in from Japan that command quite high price.
I mean, how many are left, actually?
Well, there's a good question. But of the about 1,036 they made, of the SZ, that is, then there's probably about 1,000. Nobody exactly knows. There's a guy in Holland actually collects the data. But probably because they were so special, then not that many have disappeared.
Could be yours, sir.
If I had the money and the garage space, I'd love an Alfa SZ in my car collection. What a thoroughly delightful day.